I love the pastor there. We'll do anything for him. But the director of our home, it was best for the ministry because, well, you got to have, if you ever read much about Brother Roloff, he started his own work, the People's Baptist Church. Brother Ron Williams, we met him in New York this year. He was a great help to us going through all this. And he ended up starting his own work because it takes... we're under our pastor's brother, Buddy Glass, right now, a good man. We've known him for years, and he's the only other Bible-believing work in that area. And he supports us, me and Brother Maynard both, and we're with him now. We're going to, Lord willing, by the grace of God, we're praying about starting a work when the Lord opens up the door. You got to have a place. The ministry we're in, the kids are a step away from prison, and you got to preach at them hard, okay? I'm just being honest with you. We get cussed out. They fight. There's a lot that goes on that a lot of folks that sit that are in the local church, they have no idea. They see them when they're in a shirt and tie, and it's yes, sir, no, sir, because they're trained. Well, they're going to do that if they're going to be in trouble. But behind the scenes, we're working with them, and it's rough. And so this, it was best that we part because they weren't behind us. That's just the way it is. Amen. That's the best way I know how to say it and be nice about it. Amen. Because I want to be a Christian gentleman. That's hard for me to do sometimes. I'm an old bulldog, but I was on the road, so I missed most of the... I felt like I was in the middle of the Civil War, amen. Shots were being fired on both sides, and here we are. Me and my wife are on the road traveling, trying to do what God called us to do, and back home it's a mess. But we're through it by the grace of God, and so I lost just a little bit of support from my local church, but that's fine. We had some family stick behind us, and that you know what? Here's the bottom line. God called us to do something. My call hadn't changed, okay? God wrote a book, and I'm not going to change what God wrote. Amen? And I was given a choice. I can either stay there and get out of the work God called me to do and start another work, or go with what God called me to do and stick by what God told me to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen? And it's just the way it is, and I'm not going to compromise. We're living a day and hour where a lot of our crowd's quitting on God. They're giving up their standards. You couldn't tell them from anybody else. Amen? And that's where we were at. We had some disagreements on living for God and being a testimony, and you ought to look like you know God on Monday and Tuesday, not just Sunday and Wednesday, amen? And so that's just the way it was, but I love the people, they're precious people, and I'm not going to be mean to them or talk bad about them, amen? I just want to go on the best way I know how, and that's what we had to do, but that was kind of, if you read my letter there, I've gotten my eyes open this year to God's people. I know Pastor knows that for being pastor for all these years, some of your best friends, they'll stick a knife in your back and smile while they're doing it, so... I figured that out real quick, amen. But that's all right. God hadn't changed, and we're going to go on for the Lord. It doesn't slow me down, amen. It makes me want to grab another gun, amen, just load a few more. So I'm not getting out of this fight, folks. Too many kids are on their way to hell, and they're dying all over the field while us is fighting. So that's why I had to just do what we had to do. But so the work's going well. We're going to reload in 2 weeks. We got four brand new kids. I took the last two home. I was in Texas for 5 weeks. In October, November, half of November, just me and my oldest son went out there. We picked up six new supporting churches and had a wonderful time. And I took two of the boys home that were from Texas. Those were the last two in the home. Brother Maynard is doing the juvenile work, and they took about a two-month break. Now, I say that's the first furlough they've took in 9 years. And really, he still is preaching in the detention center. You can't get him to stop. And so that's what they did. And then we're cleaning the home. They're working on it right now. We're going through the ACE school. We had to order some new paces. So brand new recruits in 2 weeks. I don't know where they're coming from yet. We're going to take the first four, see how mean they are, work with them for a few weeks. Then we'll take four more, and we're going to go up to 20 young men. I'll be there full time. Brother Nick Blackburn, if you've seen him I don't know if I mentioned him in my letters. He's coming out by faith on 1 January. He's going to do a little bit of work on the side and do what he can to help. Him and his wife are going to cook and handle meals. And so I'm looking forward to it, amen. So we're going to, the new ones are always fun. You can't take them on the road. I think I had four of them up here. But those were men that we were fixing to send home. You never, never, never take brand new recruits on the road. They'll run when you get out of the van. We have it happen. We get out somewhere where we're not, and they take off running. So we have to, it's just not, it's not the perfect will of God. You got to have a base where you can work with them, where they're getting up and sitting still somewhere, teaching them, working with them, and not traveling on the roads. So that's why, even though I'm not done yet, I'm kind of done in a way as far as support. I'll do a little bit, go out and come back, South Georgia, where I'm close, and can go right out on Wednesday and come right back, and I'm doing that now, starting in February. But as far as traveling the countryside, when we get the new boys, we need to be there with the work. to do a quality job. So we don't want to run numbers. We're not about that. So it's going very well. The boys' home is going well. I love preaching to juveniles in the bars, behind bars, and I've been on the road all year, but for the first time I got to go back to where I was chaplain at and preach to the kids day in and day out. And I had a ball. I love getting behind the bars with the kids. We've got 6 years old up to 17 where the Bay Regional Juvenile Detention Center is at. There's about 85 kids there, three different mods. One's got girls, one's got 13 to 8, 17, and then the younger ones, their boys are in a mob by their cell. And so they're always home, amen, and believe it or not, they love preaching. A lot of them have been there for a long time. And so I tell you what I've noticed, because we have to, I'm the chaplain there, you got to love the charismatics. We have a few folks that come in, and if I had my way, they wouldn't come in at all. And I give pressure on them. I keep them angry enough that most of them don't want to come back. But you'd understand that if you're in the work, because they're damning most of them to hell. And I say that because they don't preach the gospel straight. They don't have the right Bible. I ain't got time for them, amen. Just going down the road. They need to get saved, most of them. But anyhow, they come in there, and we have one guy that comes in, and he has a guitar, and he cranks up the amp and blows the block off. He don't want them there, and I've had to go in there and shut him down in front of the kids. I mean, he plays Christian rock. There's no such thing. Amen. Okay, that's out of hell. Amen. There's no such thing as Christian rock. Amen. Don't ever forget that. I've run into a lot of meetings this year where our crowd's starting to go south on their music. You want to get me mad real quick, and they keep their support. I'm just not going to do it. I believe God blesses old-time hymns, and like the stuff we sung this morning. And I ain't got time for nothing else. And I like what your preacher said about the old time working and stuff, what he was talking about Sunday morning, and the way he was brought up. I wasn't brought up that way, but that's the way I'm going back to. That's how we're teaching our kids. I'm not getting on board this modern day train. You can have it, amen. I say derail it and bomb it, amen. We're losing our kids by the thousands in churches because we're selling out to cheap imitation music, cheap Bibles, cheap lifestyles. Yard sale garbage, amen, and I ain't got time for it. I believe God's folks ought to be above that, amen. Those Bible school students, the first thing I noticed when those men come up to take the offering, they looked like men. They had haircuts over the year. It was combed and parted. There was a distinct line. I like distinctions. I like to be able to look across the road and see a man and know it's a man, amen. That's the way God's people ought to be. But anyhow, the work's going very well. We got a new prayer card. I changed it a little bit. It's got the United States American flag, the Florida state flag with just a little symbol about the Bible, and of course a new picture of our kids. And I had to put stickers over the local church thing, but it's going very well. Please pray. We've got 96 acres that are in the balance right now. There's a man, a peanut farmer, and they're in Panhandle, Florida, that's already given us 10, and they're wanting to give us some more acreage. We're praying about that. Brother Buddy's got a meeting with them in January, and there's another man we met that is a saved man that... He's been after us for 6 months about, he's got a Morton barn business. He's big in the southeast. He wants to just build some buildings for us for nothing. And so we're being careful, buddy, just praying, being leery, checking everything out. And just pray about that because it'd be a blessing. We want to build a little school and get the kids out of the home where we homeschool them at. So there's just a lot going on, so appreciate you praying about that. If you would, turn to Luke chapter 2. If you have any questions at all about anything, please ask me. You have a right to know that. You support us, and you're our lifeline. And I want to say thank you again for the support, the prayers. Preacher, I appreciate you. I know him, starting to get to know him, but it ain't like this all over the country, folks. I'm an honest preacher. It's not like this everywhere you go. There are a lot of folks that I don't know why they even come. It's awful to say that, but I'm just being honest. I'm a realist. They're not happy in church. They feel like they're prodded to come into church. I would want to live like that, amen. I want to come to church because it's a joy, and I want to be there, amen. But it's a blessing to be here. We always enjoy coming here, and I really do. And I appreciate the stand y'all got and all that kind of stuff. And it's a real good report, amen. And y'all are behind us, and thank you very much. I really mean that. No one else has done it. There's one other church in 135 churches that's done us like you have, and that's it. That's it. So that's pretty good, amen. And giving honor to whom honor is due. So Luke chapter 2, verse 41. And while you're turning there, I wanted to give you something off the television, and that's what I call the television. You just better watch that stuff. That's all I got to say, man. But I want to give you a quote that I got off of. I was up at my mother's house, and this blew me away. Now, one of America's gods is sports. Now, you read Romans chapter 1, you'll find out that's the God. And, of course, money and sex right behind that. College education is right up in the top five. But this is what they said on ESPN. As soon as my mama had it on the football game, it came on. It blew me away. The gospel according to ESPN. They had it in big letters. Saints, saviors, sinners. They were making a mockery of God. Now you can't tell me we're not getting ready to get out of here. America's probably number one God of sports. And I mean, they used to, when I was growing up, the pre-games were like 15, 20 minutes. Now they're 3 and 4 hours. A game lasts all day because the post and pre-millennial and pre-trib, post-trib game show and all this stuff. They make a god out of it is what they do. And I tell you, man, you better watch that stuff. Better watch that stuff. I just didn't have my kids have a preacher. I don't know if you know Phil Kidd or not. A lot of folks either love him or hate him, but he's kind of somewhat a personal friend. We love him to death. I got a picture of him holding my voice up, and I'm going to blow it up, amen. I've got several preachers. That's my kids' heroes, amen. That's what I want, amen. I don't want a picture of some fella in his underwear advertising something on a sports with a basketball in his hand. Amen. You can have all that stuff, amen. They're not going to help my kids when they're down and out. Only God will, amen, and God's men. But anyhow, I'll try to stick to the teaching this morning. I'm going to try to behave myself. Luke chapter 2, and I really appreciate the privilege and honor to get to do this. Chapter 2, verse 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been with the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass after 3 days that they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, and both hearing them and asking them questions. And I think it's wonderful that God would give doctors a hard time. I say amen to that at 12 years old. And all that heard him, verse 47, were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto him, How is it that you sought me? Wish you not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day, God. Appreciate the good local church here, God. Appreciate the good spirit, good singing. Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And thank God that that's present here. And appreciate the young people, Lord. They God, I know that it doesn't save us, our testimony as far as how we live for God, but it sure does show our love and dedication to thee when we're willing to love thee enough to live for you. And I appreciate the testimony here, God. And Lord, bless this church, Lord. There's so many churches, and yet so few are trying to walk close to you. God, help us to stay close to thee. Bless the dear pastor, his family, all his children that serve you here. That's a wonderful testimony. God, that's so rare, Father. And I pray you'd help these folks. Bless this morning. Give everybody wisdom. We love you and thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Luke chapter 2, and I want to just give you something here. Losing your children. I really want to teach you what I call, it's a portion of this message. I call the parents. And I don't know if I've done this here or not. I hope I haven't. That's what the Lord dealt me about. I went through this thing again. I did laundry for my wife yesterday up at the laundromat and sit down and went through this again. And before I get started, I want to give you something I got out of Pennsylvania, and it's from a 1950s high school home economics textbook. Now this is amazing. Public school system, 1950. How to be a good housewife. See, home economics is gone. Ag class is gone. How to teach little girls to sew, cook, clean, to be a housewife is gone in our public school system. And how to teach the young men to get their hands dirty and work for an honest living is gone. Now, when I went to school here at Shackamack, we had ag class. Mr. Kramer taught me how to work on mechanics, and he did a fine job. Amen. And it ain't like that no more. He's gone. Or if he's still there, they ain't got ag no more. It's shut down out back. That's a crying out loud shame. And when I was in school down here, the boys had to take home economics. They can take that or leave it, but they did have it for the girls and boys. From what I'm told, it's no more. That's across the country. They don't want our girls to know how to do nothing anymore. I don't know if you know it or not, but my mother was married to Bob Borders for about 10 years. That's how I came to this area. I went out and saw him yesterday. I have a great respect for him. He needs to get in church. Amen. I don't hold punches for nobody. I love him to death. I respect him highly. He whooped the fire out of me when I was here in Jacksonville. And he taught me how to work. We were not in church. Wrong. Wasn't saved. He wasn't saved then. There was a lot of things that wasn't right. But I want to give you something that he taught me, some good biblical character that I thank God for. And I still thank him to this day. You know what he told me yesterday? In his nearing 60 now, he said, you know what's wrong with our country, sir? There's no mamas anymore. That will preach. You talk about hitting the nail on the head, I've seen it all over the country. He said, Bob, more mamas are worried about getting out, getting a career, leaving those little bitties at the house or putting them somewhere with somebody and they're not getting any attention time and nobody's teaching them. And that's why I got a job, if you want to cut. And it ain't a job, it's a work of the Lord, but that's why we're in business, if you will. And I'm telling you, mamas, the highest calling you've got is to be a mom. The highest calling this side of heaven is to be a godly, dedicated, loving God, soul winning, separated mama that loves God. Now, I don't care what the world says. They're going to call you a third-class citizen. They still do it to my wife. That's A-okay because God in heaven sees what's going on. And you couldn't get my wife out of the house with a log chain and a skidder truck. Amen. My wife went to college in Florida. She graduated, took the state boards to be a left-hand side chair assistant, make big bucks in the dental work ministry. Our ministry, Lord have mercy. It's a ministry, all right. But and when she graduated, she was in a family way with Matthew, our firstborn. And we was fighting that thing, and we was getting fought from my side. They're all educated. All my family has education. All of them have it. I'm the only one don't have a graduate degree in the Air Force. But all her family's educated. And how dare you throw all that away? Oh, wonderful day. It was a great day when she burned it in the fire. Amen. And just stayed with God. Here we are 11 years later, far from being a perfect family. But by the grace of God, we're going to obey this book. And we're going to try to do what God said. And I'm telling you, you're going to catch it. And we catch it more in the neck from God's people. And I hate that. I wish it wasn't so. But who did the Lord catch it from? The religious crowd.
Right.
It wasn't them heathens on the countryside that were giving him a hard time. It was God, folks that claimed to know God that got in his face and didn't like what he was doing. Amen. And so anyhow, that's where we're at. And as far as I'm concerned, I think when we get home to the glory and get before the judgment seat of Christ, there's going to be a lot of lady folk in front line. There's going to be a lot of grandmas that dedicated their life to sitting in a house somewhere on a hillside, praying, reading that Bible, and teaching those young ones and whooping them with a willow switch when they needed it. You wait and see. Mark her down if it ain't so. But anyhow, how to be a good housewife. Have dinner ready. I ain't going to read all the little things. Prepare yourself. Clear away the clutter. Prepare the children. Minimize the noise. Some don'ts. Talk about when your husband comes in. Listen to him. Make the evening his. The goal, 1950 public school textbook. Try to make your home a place of peace and order where your husband can relax in body and spirit. Of course, now we're a long way from that. And folks look at you like you're a foreigner when you talk like that. My family thinks we're absolutely nuts. They do. And we probably are, but that's okay. I love this book. I'm telling you, this Bible will keep you from your sins, or your sins will keep you from this book. That's just the way it is. And your lifeline is this old book, and everything we do ought to be by this book. One of my most favorite, I've said it here before. Paul said over there, 1st, 2nd Thessalonians 2:13, he said, for this cause also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which affectionately worketh also in you that believe. The key to unlocking this old Bible is believing what God said, how he said it, without questioning God. And that's why the Lord loves kids so much, because they don't question authority when they're little. Amen. I mean, that's why he suffered all the little children to come unto me, because God knows that, listen, dad's little boys and girls, they think dad's just right about everything. That's all they see about dad, that he's just dad's it. Amen. And that's the way God wants us to be with him. He wants us to obey him and love him and do what he says without reservation and questioning. Luke chapter 2, I need to stay on the track here, but just real quick, the parents. I want to say this about us as moms and dads. You know, what's wild when you look at the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, here in John. In Luke, you really find the only record about the young years of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in chapter 1, you get to chapter 2, he's born. Mary and Joseph's heading back to be taxed. And then midway through, Simeon sees him, mine eyes have seen the Lord, in verse 8, I believe. Then you get over the latter part of the chapter, he's now 12. And then you get to chapter 3, and right away he's preaching, 30-year-old young man, firing away, preaching on the streets and going to work, doing what he's supposed to do. And so you don't find a lot about the Lord in his young years. I mean, there's just not a lot recorded. Of course, we know he was God all the way through, amen. And anybody that teaches God wasn't God's a heretic anyhow, amen. You ought to reject him according to 1 John. But there's a bunch of those out, amen. A lot of folks don't like the blood anymore. I like the blood, amen. I like to get a blood bath, and that's how I got saved, amen. And these guys that want to take these song books and tear them up, you know, them good men, good godly dedicated Christians that got PhDs, and they know more than the folks that wrote the songs, and now that they're dead and gone, they want to rewrite them. I'd slap them in heaven if God would let me. I know I can't do that because I'm going to be perfect then, and thank God for that, because there'd be a fight in heaven if I wasn't. Guys want to take in beloved songs. I got a book called Saints and Sinners. You ought to read that sometime. It'll fire you up about who wrote those songs and what was behind them. I'm telling you what, the song, There Is a Fountain Filled with Blood. How many of you ever heard the story behind There Is a Fountain Filled about that young man? Their mom and daddy told the Lord when he was born, they want him to make a mark in Christianity. And that young boy, as a teenager, got away from God, never had gotten saved, ran from God, joined a bar that used to call Hell something. I forget the name of it. They would make fun of God, and they'd dress up like a priest, and they'd have toast, do the Lord's communion in that bar, and everybody would drink wine and make a mock. I mean, this is how they ran the thing. I mean, that's the way the bar was set up. And that man was in that bar. That young man had been away from God for a few years, and he said that he was in there and fixing to take a toast. They were mocking God, and he said the Holy Ghost of God told him, this is your last stop. You either drop it and get right with God, or we're writing you off. Call upon the Lord while he is near. Amen. A lot of folks want to use God like a slot machine. I'll get saved when I want to. You better watch that stuff. You call upon the Lord while God's drawing you. You won't go. Amen. Amen. I mean, listen, folks. I mean, God, God ain't come to our beck and call. He's not our spare tire. We get a flat, take him out, and then throw him back in the trunk. You know, a lot of folks at Christmas put him on the television and say, you stay right there in that manger as a baby. You ain't telling me what to do. And if you get back in that box and get in that closet, I'll call on you next year. That's most of America. And most of America's on their way to hell, amen. And most of American families are wrecked and shipwrecked and are heading that way, amen. But anyhow, that young man come running to the house. He left out of that bar. He ran out, ran to the house 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, beat on his mom and dad's door. And when they came to the door, he was laying out there on the porch. The conviction of God had fell so hard upon him, his dad and mama thought he was dead. And they went in there to get dressed real quick, and they come out, and he was out there sitting in the swing, bawling and gotten right with God and gotten saved. He was a man that wrote. The next day, God inspired him to write, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Amen. Amen. Anyhow, you don't need to change them songs. They'll do just the job till God gets us out of this old mess. Okay, the parents. I like to say this. Look at Luke chapter 1. I like to say, you know, Joseph and Mary, when we read there in the scriptures in verse 41, you read there down in verse 44, it says, but they supposed him to have been in the company when a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinfolk's acquaintance. You know, when you read this account, you almost think, what rotten parents. The Lord literally got away from Joseph and Mary for a full day before they realized it. Now, I understand it was God. He is God without error. I'm not talking about the Lord this morning. But as parents, on their side, if they were humans, the Lord got away from him, this 12-year-old boy, or thereabouts, for a full day. And they had no idea. Not all. It took them 3 days to find him. Now you think about that for a minute. How'd you like to have one of your young ones right here be gone for a full day and you not even recognize him being gone? That'd be something bad wrong with our communication, whether or not. But I want to just give you a few things about the parents, lest we think, you know, look down on them. I want to show you how godly these two people were. They walked with God. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 30. I tell you, outside of the grace of God, if you don't get God's blessings on your home and just day by day, new and afresh, we're not going to survive. Not in the day and hour that we live in. Luke chapter 1, verse 30, and the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So I'd like to say, first of all, as parents, they found favor with God. What about Joseph? Look at Matthew chapter 1. Look what God says about Joseph. He was a good man. These were pure parents. I wrote down they were pure parents because they didn't touch one another. They were in spouse, and Joseph kept his hands off of her until after they were married. Amen. I mean, listen, they did something that most folks don't understand anymore. Most of us, we've ripped out Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, where Paul said, now concerning where the things you wrote unto me is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every wife have her own husband. I just believe that it means don't touch. I'm not taking time to go to the Greek and Hebrew. You're looking at a red-blooded American. I grew up on the streets. You're not fooling this boy. I know what young boys do. They look at girls. That's normal. They need to be taught, though, to be in the right heart attitude and to wait on God. It needs to be dealt with. But this business of thinking you can send them down the street in a car at night together when the sun goes down, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And if they're not going to climb over that King James Bible, they'll jump Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before they get out the driveway. I don't believe it. There are exceptions, but I'm not the exception, okay? And I'm telling you, you're going to lose your youngins. I saw two good, clean girls go down because of that kind of stuff. That were raised in King James home all their life, born in the house of God, in a Christian school, and they got too loose with that stuff, thinking they trusted them. I don't trust mine as far as I can throw them. I don't trust this whole flesh. Paul didn't trust it, amen. But in Matthew chapter 1, I'm just trying to say y'all, them youngins ought to wait on God, amen. That's why God made the marriage so blessed. You're supposed to wait on God, amen. I mean, Hollywood ain't got it figured out, amen. They got 1,400 wives and 50,000 kids all over the country. They don't even know who their mom and dad is, amen. They ain't got a clue about what God said. So that ain't, you know, as the world burns and general horse puddles, that's the wrong place to figure out how to live for God, amen. Those people are wicked, amen. I'd blow them off the air if I could. I'm telling you, you need to pray for me. It keeps me fired up, though. That's the blessing of it, amen. You ain't got to worry about stoking me. Pastor said he needs to slow me down. That's what my pastor down there says, man. You got to slow a racehorse down. It's better than resurrecting a dead one, amen. I don't want to be like that. I ran for the devil. I ran on these streets. I burnt rubber, drank liquor, and threw up on this main street. Now, if I can live like that for the devil, I think I owe God back pay on how I ought to live for God, amen. And I think it's a shame if God's got to stoke me to say amen or back the preacher up or read his Bible. Come on now, I mean, we need to just get on the stick and go for God. We ain't got time. It's double march, amen, double time, like they used to say. But in Matthew chapter 1, look at verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. There's the first thing I want to call your attention to. God called him a just man. Now, that's pretty good to get that recorded about you in the Bible. And not willing to make her a public example. You know he could have. According to the Jewish law, he could have. He could have hung Mary out to dry, but he didn't. He must have been walking with God. By the way, the angel winds up speaking to him. He must have knew God. And it says there, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily, but when he thought on these things, and that's good that he thought before he made a decision. Ain't that something? That's something for us to catch there. You know, you need to pray about it, make sure you get a hold of God and follow him before we make a rash decision. That ought to get your head cut off if you're not careful. But he says there, he was a just man. He says, but while he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take Mary to thee thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he was a just man. So they found favor with God. Not only that, look back at Luke chapter 2. What's amazing to me is, and I know this was the synagogue, and it's a little different in the local church. I understand all that distance, all that stuff. But for the sake of being practical, and that's what I mostly am, is practical, because we deal with kids, and that's where they're at. Amen. I want to get them saved and get them washed in the blood, see them get saved, and then try to teach them how to live for God. But in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, he was 8 days old and he was in church. Amen? That's amazing, isn't it? That's where kids ought to be, in church. And they ought to be there 9 months before they're born. Amen? They ought to start right out the gate and be there all that time. And that's what the Lord was. And here in chapter 2, verse 21, and it says... And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the 8 days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. How about that? The Lord presented himself to the Lord. Ain't that something? And he came by the, verse 27 of chapter 2, and he came by the Spirit of the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, they were simply faithful to the temple. Now, parents, I think it goes without saying, when the doors are open, whether it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school, watch night, whatever, mowing the grass, if you're able, get your kids involved. You can't cram them like a jelly sandwich. You can't get them enough into this stuff. I mean, it ought to be, you ought to try to find ways to make everything a joy. I mean, put them in the middle of everything. Our kids, outside of being careful because of the boys, their attitude, things that rub off on them, there's things that we're getting out of my kids now that they picked up on the road this year from them four young men. Are you listening to me? I wasn't happy about that, taking them on the road. It was the grace of God. We did what we had to do, but it's over. Thank God things went well, but that's not the perfect will of God. It's just not. We've learned some things in this ministry. Listen, I don't want my kids. There's got to be a dividing line. Listen, my kids have been raised in a Christian home since they've been born. I was not, okay? These boys were not. So I'm not going to put them around something. They're not better than them boys. They're just as sinners as anybody. But from their eye, from their little world and their eyesight, all I want them to know is church, God, and the Bible. And I want them to be in love with the ministry and the work of God and the Lord, and that's what I want them to do full time. I want them to be missionaries and preachers' wives. That's what I want for my kids. I don't want to settle for anything less than that. Now, if that's fine, if that's what God wants, but we're shooting for the highest mark, so we have to be careful about putting them with them, amen? And so, but other than that, we put them in the middle of the work. I mean, we give them things to do as little bitties, even my girl and stuff, but we got to be careful about that. We do, because they'll pick up things that you don't even realize. The way they talk and stuff, you know, and all the lingo, yeah, huh? And they don't say that long at our home, okay? We give them grace for about a week, because I understand they come off the streets. I can't stand that stuff, huh? Come here, son, huh? Huh? You need jack slapped, amen? And, I mean, we go to bat all the time with family over whipping our kids. We do now. It's still not over. It's like it comes around the mountain again, you know, and you keep butting heads like two rams out there. And, amen, you know, come on now. I mean, I'm not being ugly or mean to family. I'm just being honest. So you got to get the long look. If you ain't got a vision, the people perish, according to Proverbs. See, what I've got to understand is Kelsey's not going to stay four. She'll be 12 or 13 like that. And the next thing I know, she'll be 19 or 20. So if we don't get our head out of the sand now when they're young and pray over them and teach them and train them and whoop them when they need it and teach them and train them and whoop them when they and over. And it's the same thing every day. Parents, it don't get any easier. It gets tougher. But God's grace is sufficient. You got to get the long side. I got to envision my daughter walking down the wedding aisle in a white dress because she deserves to.
Amen.
Amen. That's what I want. I can't get blindsided wondering where they're going to keep this thing from. Well, they can't have this point. Who cares? Look down the stroke road. What is the meeting point here? You want to go to bed at night and have an I want to go back to that out on the streets of Atlanta somewhere? I know that can happen. I understand that. But that's not where I'm living. God said, train us on the way he's going to go without our heart. I know that he's dead, but I can't live in this undefeated land. We've got to be by faith, believe in God, and trust in God. He will do what he said. Regardless, blind faith, the world calls. That's right. Amen to that.
Yeah.
I mean, you ain't seen your brain. How do you know you got one? People say, well, I talk to these kids all the time. Well, you know, where'd Cain get his wife? He married his sister. Who cares, man? Get over it, amen. Go on down the road. I mean, I tell them kids all the time, you know, you don't even, I tell the little, well, you know, God really couldn't be God. I said, sir, you know what when the 8-cylinder fires on your car? Huh? You trust it by faith to get you to the grocery store, don't you, buddy? Half the stuff we do in this life is by faith. You don't even know why we do what we do. But we trust it to get it there, so it ain't an object. And then we can't trust God. Are you kidding me? You got to be dumber than a box of rocks to believe you came from a monkey, believe that crowd down the road is teaching our kids that junk. You got to be educated out of your common sense to not believe there's a God in heaven that created that snow we're driving on out there. I'm telling you, you got to be dumber than off your rock. You got to be taught out of that stuff because it ain't like that from the natural born womb. I mean, I've talked to guys and they're drunk as stupid that knew there was a God in heaven. They just didn't like what he was telling them to do. They didn't want to get right with him yet. But they know there's a God. Amen.
Amen.
I've gotten in trouble down at 10 Center because they got the HRS and they got the school right in the center. They teach the kids there. And I've told them, I said, look, if you believe you come from a monkey, go to the zoo and get with them. That's your great-granddaddy. Get down there and take care of him, amen. I mean, I ain't got time for that junk, amen. But anyhow, so they were faithful to the house of God. What about this? Look at Matthew chapter 13. I get along real, believe it or not, it's amazing. It's the grace of God. I get along so well with them. And I do. I mean, but we go at it all the time. And I've been there. We've been there, well, 7 years in the detention center. And we hadn't got voted out yet, thank God. But Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54. I'd like to say, third of all, about this mom and daddy, Joseph, his stepfather and Mary. They fed his family. Okay? Joseph was a working man. I want to show you in Scripture what God recorded about him. As parents, they were good parents, and yet the Lord got away from them for a whole day. That should give us a warning bell. We need to get, make sure we get a hold of the Lord day by day. But Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, and it says, verse 54, when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, as much as they were astonished, and said, whence this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas, And we were talking about family there. Notice he takes it in the neck from his family there, and you always will. The hardest crowd to win is your own home, your own family. And what I want you to show you there is he was a carpenter's son. Joseph was a carpenter. Joseph was a worker. He was not lazy. Okay? Lamentations chapter 3 talks about the young men, they ought to bear their yoke in their youth. It means you ought to work, young men. So here we've got Joseph. He wasn't a bum, amen. He wasn't a gutless governmental slob. We got enough of those in this country that are looking for handouts, okay? Put them to work. Folks, folks come in and they want, I'm sure a preacher gets folks knock on the door, and I'm for helping folk and need help. I'm not against that at all. It's more blessed to give than receive. I understand all that. But I say put them to work. That's what our pastor does. Hey, we'll give you, we need help. Why don't you come over and do this for us? I don't want to do that. I just want $25 to go down the road. We were out on the road on deputation. There was a fellow come up to me. Actually, I got out of the van, and he went to my wife, okay? I got out, and my wife looked in. I didn't know what was wrong because we was pulled in off the road to get some gas, and this black fellow come up, and he got right in my wife's face. Of course, I made a beeline over there and pushed him out of the way of my wife because that's a good way to get in trouble with me, amen? You get near mom, and I'm liable to clobber you, amen? I'll pray for you later. I may pray for you, but... And he was drunk, and he wanted help, and so we took him inside. He had a six-pack of liquor. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do for you, sir. I said, I'll pour your liquor out. I help you, but here's the deal. You're gonna sit down and let me talk to you about the Lord, number one. Number two, you're gonna listen to it, not run your mouth to me, and then I'm gonna pour all your liquor out right now, and then I'll take you and sit you down and get you something to eat. And he did that. But I'm not giving him $10 so he can walk down the street and get more liquor. Okay, I'm not doing that, okay? And so he did that. He kind of got a little upset about me pouring his liquor out. But hey, that's good for him, amen. I hope he gets saved, amen. But that's just the way it is. But he fed his family. Not only that, look at Matthew chapter 2 again. Not only did Joseph feed his family, we're talking about some good godly parents here, folks. Now, these weren't slouch Christians. You can call them what you want. You can read that text there where that one time God records it, the Lord got away from him, and not in the sense that he was doing wrong, but I believe God recorded it there to help us if nothing else. We can see as their side of it, as parents, he was doing the perfect will of God. Okay, I'm not even talking about the Lord. God was doing what he's supposed to do, amen? But what I want to show you is how as parents, it's very easy for us to lose our children without even knowing it. I'm telling you, you can lose them sitting on the front row of a church pew years before they're gone. And I want to be quick. I got to close here. So I want to just give you this. He followed God's will. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Chapter 2, verse 13. Look there. It says, and when they were departed, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. So in verse 13, God tells him to move without notice. Then in verse 22 of the same chapter, he tells him to move again. Twice God tells Joseph, pack your bags and get down the road. You don't see nowhere where Joseph bucks the horse. He follows God's will without any questions. Parents, it's absolutely paramount that you obey God in every jot and tittle without question. I know we're flesh. I know it's hard. We got to work at that. We got to strive at that. And then I'd like to say that they fenced in the Lord, not because God needed fenced in, but because as parents, any parents that's saved and right with God at all has any decency, you better get you some standards of separation. You better get in this book and find out what God said, and he's got a lot to say about it. That's kind of a secret service type thing with our people today. They're scared to death of this thing of separation nowadays. It don't save you. It don't keep you saved. I understand all that stuff. You're saved by grace through faith plus nothing. But living for God, your love for God tells me how much you love the Lord by how you conduct yourself. It's that simple. But I want to close with this. Parents, what are some signs? I'm just going to read them to you. We got to close because it's 23 after. What are some signs of losing your children? Well, there's separation in the family. We found in Luke chapter 2, verse 44 and 45, there was separation in the family. They were pulled apart. Part of the family stayed behind. Mary and Joseph went back to try to find him. There was sorrow in the family. Chapter 2, verse 48, they're sorrowing when they're looking for him. There's stress in the family. Chapter 2, verse 51, Mary kept all those sayings in her heart. Amen. What are some signs of losing your children? When they're weary of the customs. Back there in Luke chapter 2, verse 42 and 43, it says that the tradition, after the custom of the feast, if we're not careful, tradition becomes a ritual. This thing of coming to church, in other words, the joy goes out. You can tell by looking at your children, amen. or they're not there enjoying themselves. They become weary of the customs with the wrong company. I know the God wasn't with the wrong company, but they were supposing him to have been in the company, and he wasn't. Parents, you better watch whose company your kids are with. I'm telling you, they're going to pick up more dirt than a buck this man and what God's doing here than anything you can imagine. If them kids ain't out of this house, this church, that's what I believe. If they're not from here, or they're not from a local church that your pastor trusts and knows those people, and you know, you better keep your kids away from them, outside witnessing to them and stuff. Because I don't like that. Well, you do what you want. But I'm telling you, we got a house full of Heritage Boys Academy for the problems like that. Last of all, I'd like to say this. There was weak communication. And this is really my message today, and I got to close. The most important thing I think as parents, an entire day went by before they realized the Lord was not there. You know what that tells me about Mary and Joseph? They didn't talk to God for a full day. Did y'all get that? I think the biggest danger in our homes is that we dwell together and we're there and we say, hi, bye, how you doing? But there's really no good, solid communication. And parents, those daughters are going to grow up when they're 16, 17, 18, and they're going through some things in their life. If you didn't have communication when they were little, they're not going to come and talk to you. You need to talk to them every day. You need to make sure you give them time and sit down and look at them, see what's clicking and how they're doing. Because you'll know communication is very important. Thank you, Pastor. I hope it was a blessing. Amen. Appreciate you having me, sir. Thank you.